This is Oklahoma Perspective. U.S. Congressman from Oklahoma Mark Wayne Mullen has some thoughts about President Trump's impeachment. He shared those thoughts with KRMG's Russell Mills.
So obviously, everything in Washington, D.C. is kind of on hold right now.
We're
in such a bizarre, surreal situation right now in this country. We've got that whole impeachment thing sort of looming. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not sent the articles of impeachment over to the Senate yet, which I don't know legally if that means that the president's actually even been impeached yet. I haven't been able to figure that out. What can you tell us about where we're at?
So it caught us completely off guard, and we haven't ever been through this process before. You know, we've only had impeachment inquiries. This is our fourth time to go through it. Only the third president to be impeached. Johnson was the first one for removing the Secretary of War. He liked two votes from being convicted in the Senate. Nixon resigned first before he was impeached, and then Clinton, obviously for committing perjury by lying to the grand jury, was impeached but not convicted. So this is the first time that the Speaker hasn't sent over the articles of impeachment to proceed with the trial to the Senate. And it caught all of us off guard. I mean, she did this as we were leaving town for Christmas break. She made the announcement. And then you seen the Democrat attorney, their lead attorney, that came out shortly after and said that, we're looking at calling additional witnesses because there might be additional impeachment charges brought up. So what my theory is, twofold. One, they know the president is going to be acquitted if he goes over to the Senate. Even some Democrat senators have said this is the weakest case that they've ever seen. I mean, these are attorneys that most of them were actually judges or prosecuting attorneys or defense attorneys that have said that this would be thrown out immediately, even on liberal talk shows and liberal media has said that this is a brilliant move by Nancy Pelosi because the president will never be acquitted of his charges. Because if he's not ever found innocent, then he can't be actually acquitted. The charges just linger.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it'll have like an asterisk behind it for history. But I think what my opinion, there is absolutely zero inside track on this. This is 100% my opinion. I think what had happened, because you had Democrat senators that was already coming out saying this is an extremely weak case. Someone was even saying that, you know, I've got to vote based on the rule of law, meaning that if it's not there, they can't even vote to impeach the president, even though the Democrat on the House side was a party line vote against. The only partisan part was the 2 and 3, 2 on 1 and 3 on another articles of impeachment. There's 2 articles of impeachment. Democrats have voted not to impeach the president. I think what Chuck Schumer told Nancy was, listen, you got to send us a stronger case. Don't send this over here and put us in a position like you put your House members in, because she ran her House members right off a cliff. And there's going to be a day of reckoning, and I think that's going to be November of 2020, that they're going to be answering for this by their voters. The independents have already made it very clear that they're not happy with it. They may not support the president, but they also support the Constitution and the rule of law, and the way that this was handled was not accurate. And so the president's fair abilities during the impeachment actually went up during this proceeding.
So it happened with President Clinton too.
It did happen with Clinton because people saw it as a bipartisan. This should have been a lesson learned for everybody. We shouldn't have put the country through this. But even Clinton was impeached out of the House by a bipartisan vote. Even Clinton was impeached by bipartisan. So this is strictly partisan, and everybody see it. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you watch any part of the trial, you could tell that this was the essential definition of a sham court, a kangaroo court. Going forward on that one real quick, I think that Chuck Schumer said, if you're going to put your House members forward, that's your call. You're the Speaker. But I'm leading the Senate. If you're going to send a case over here for us to vote on, you better have a stronger case. So make a stronger case or don't send it to us. And I think that's probably where we're at today.
So let's talk about the trial aspect of it, because the trial happens in the Senate.
Yes.
And I had an expert, gosh, I forget who I was talking to, but they were telling me, look, this is not a criminal trial. This is not a civil trial. This is not like any other legal process in the United States or anywhere else for that matter, an impeachment of a federal office holder in the United States. But it is a trial. And the senators are essentially jurors. They essentially vote up or down, innocent or guilty on impeachment. And we had the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, come out and say, we will be coordinating the Senate trial with the White House. And that led Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska to say, wait a second, a Republican senator saying, wait, we don't coordinate with the defense. We don't coordinate the trial with the defense. That disturbed her. What do you think?
So what Mitch McConnell came out and clarified that. And he said, what I mean by coordinate with him, I'm not talking about we're going to be saying, hey, we're going to do this, you all do this. It's going to be, we're going to let the White House actually be part of the process, which they were supposed to have been part of the process in the House, but they couldn't. Even though the Nancy Pelosi said they could, even though Adam Schiff said they could, they were very limited on what they could actually participate in. In fact, they could only participate if the chair found it necessary for them to proceed, and they had to submit their questions that they were going to ask the witness prior to the questions being asked, because otherwise they wouldn't be made of record. So they couldn't process. So what Mitch McConnell said was, we're going to coordinate with them. You're going to participate, because when it goes to Senate, the way that it works, when it goes in a trial, the House will work as the prosecuting attorney. The Senate works as the jury, and Chief Justice Roberts will preside over it, and then the White House will be the defendant. They'll be able to defend themselves. And what they're saying is, in that case, the prosecuting attorney and the defendant, they got to share their information. They got, just like in a court of law, you've got to share your information. If there's evidence, both sides have access to that evidence prior to the hearing. And what Mitch McConnell was saying is, we're not going to keep it from the White House like you did. It's going to be an open process with the White House.
Kind of, and that's like discovery, what they were saying.
Yes.
In a criminal
proceeding. Same thing. It's the same. It works. Okay. The case works exactly the same. The charges are quite different. And in this case, this is the first time that a president has been impeached when no crime has been committed. I mean, there's been zero crime. And I'm not just saying, you can't say that he abused his power and call that a crime. There wasn't a president that signed more executive orders than Obama. And so if you're saying that the president abused his power because he went around Congress, well, what did Obama do? Obama went around Congress by executive orders. Now, this president has done executive orders. And by the way, every president has done executive orders. So that's a broad definition. But when you had Nixon, who committed a crime by the court of law outside of Congress, but by lying under oath and committing perjury, that is a true crime recognized in our judicial system. When you had Johnson, who openly removed the Secretary of War, who was protected by law underneath the Tenure Act, which doesn't exist today, but it did then, that was protected by law under the Tenure Act, he committed a crime that was recognized by the court of law, by the judicial system. Nixon committed a crime by breaking into the Democrat National Committee to gain political favor. It was breaking entry. It was a crime. This one, there isn't. So there's a huge, broad definition that has to be made by abuse of power underneath high crimes and misdemeanors. And that case is going to be hard, very, very, very hard to make, but it works the same way. Now, people will make the argument, well, but the Constitution, when it says treason, bribery, misdemeanor, or high crime misdemeanor, it doesn't define actually what that is. They said that the founders, our fathers, that created
Jefferson,
our Constitution.
Adams, Hamilton.
Yeah, they left that up for Congress to define. You can say that, but there's been so many criminal cases since the Constitution has been written, especially the Article 2. There has been good definition of what a crime in our society has been defined as. So you could leave it up to Congress at that time. Today, our judicial system has done a very good job defining what a crime and a misdemeanor is. Very good job, Def, to define it. So I don't know if that's actually accurate by saying, well, it's up to Congress to define it, because that's pretty big.
It is pretty broad. So you mentioned Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Right.
Who tweeted yesterday basically saying, and he was addressing the president, basically saying, look, if you're so convinced you did nothing wrong, let your people testify. Why is Mitch McConnell saying there will be no witnesses? Why are you not letting White House staff you know, testify. Do you think that that would be a good plan? I mean, this is the administration's chance to present their side of the case.
So when you talk about executive privilege, President Obama invoked executive privilege multiple times when we were calling his cabinet members or his appointees to Congress. Very seldom did we ever get any of his individuals to come testify before court. Even going to the whole IRS scandal, that we never did actually get her to come in and testify, and says she just pled the fifth when she did come in and testify. So what the president did was he said, in which I agree with what he did, instead of him saying just no, I'm going to take this to our court system and let them decide. So he asked the court, do I have to comply with this? Because we never actually had a vote on our impeachment inquiry rules. We had a resolution to move forward with it, but there was never actual a vote to proceed with impeachment inquiries. So underneath that, does executive privilege still exist? And that's what the president was asking. I believe the same thing with the president. It doesn't. The president still has the right to invoke executive orders when he is not actually able to defend himself, when the cabinet members aren't actually able to have counsel because they are wanting the cabinet members to come in under oath underneath a supposedly an impeachment inquiry, which would be a criminal inquiry, with no counsel. And the president is saying, hold on a second, if we're going to do this, then I can either invoke executive orders or we're going to go back. Executive privilege, yeah. Mm-hmm. Executive privilege, or I get to have counsel. Which one is it? And the court hasn't ruled on that yet. And so when the court rules, or if the court does ever rule on it, then we'll be able to move forward. And that's what our whole argument was the day of the impeachment, is there were many of us that went to the mic, went to the House floor, and said, why are we in such a rush to do this right now? If you're calling on the president to let your cabinet members, let your appointees come in and testify, then that's what they were saying. Then we're saying, okay, then let's have the court system, our other co-equal branch, let them decide. They're out of this political fray. This right now is us against them. Our judicial system's out of the political fray. Let them decide if the president gets to do so, inject executive privilege, or if they does the person coming to testify gets to have counsel. That's a simple question. And in my opinion, I think it should wait. But that wouldn't fit in the narrative. The narrative was they wanted to do this right before we went on break. And I think the whole time they were planning on not sending the articles of impeachment over. So the news story then would be about the president being impeached for basically 18 days, and there's no other news cycle, so it dominates it. So they're trying to turn the American people's political opinion about this president. Because this whole sham process isn't being broadcast live anymore.
So do you have any feeling? I know it would just be shooting in the dark, but I mean, the Congress comes back, what, the 7th?
The 7th, right.
So Tuesday, January
7th.
Well,
we're on call, the subject to the chair. So
okay.
we're not on what you can, traditional recess. We're on call, subject to call the chair. So we could be called back within any 24-hour notice. So when they do that, they hold all members within 24 hours of getting back to D.C.
I got you. Okay. So technically, it's scheduled to resume on January 7th. Do you think events will start moving pretty quickly, or is it going to be more sort of foot dragging and posturing?
Posturing. It's political year. Look, we start primaries. The first primary is February something.
Yeah. And Super Tuesday's like in March.
March. Yeah. The first, second week of March. I don't know the exact dates on this. I should know that, but I don't. But we immediately go into primary season, and it's going to be all posturing. You think this year was bad? This was the non-political year. 2019 was the non-political
year.
The off years where we're supposed to get things done. So you think 2019 was bad? 2020 you're going to want to throw up at some of the political posturing that's going to take place. I mean, make sure you give yourself at least 2 or 3 days break from all news cycles a week, so you don't get a very bitter taste in your mouth.
I guess,
and I'm serious by that, because
advice,
it's going to be
ugly. You can't follow yourself.
Can't follow that myself. No.
And you said something just a moment ago that I thought was really telling. You're in the primary in Oklahoma,
right.
and there's so much going on right now. You don't even remember the date because you got a lot of irons in the fire.
We have so many things moving right now. This was one of the longest political seasons that I've had. I was telling my team earlier that I haven't had a break in over 2 years. Now, I might go on a trip with my family because I'm coaching wrestling or we're doing this, but your phone's 24/7. You're never out of it. And I don't think I have been this exhausted in a long time. I'm talking about like truly exhausted and frustrated, because it was a very dark day when we did this to President Donald J. Trump. I mean, here's a president who you may not like his style, even though those that came up and testified even testified that it was highly irregular the way that he was handling some foreign affairs, but not criminal. I mean, you got to keep in mind, not one single person testified when asked the question, and all of them was asked the question, was there any misdemeanor, treason, high crime, or bribery that took place? All of them said no. No, full stop, no. Not, well, maybe, no. So but they did say that his behavior was irregular. Well, just because it's irregular doesn't make it a criminal offense. And it's very frustrating for me because we hired a business guy who's never been involved in politics. We chose to have a business guy, not a career politician, but a business guy to run our country because we were sick of the way things were taking place. And then we get there and we're surprised that he does things irregular. I came straight out of the business world.
I was just going to say, you were that guy.
I still am that guy. I mean, we make decisions based on two things, Russell: our life experiences and the way we're raised. My life experiences wasn't politics. My life experiences was living on the ranch and running companies. I mean, I was self-employed 30 days after I turned 20 years old and my wife was 19. I mean, that's my life. That's how I make decisions. And that's how I still make decisions based on the business aspects. And the president does the same thing. So it was very frustrating for me to see a business owner that I've got to know the president pretty good. He is one of the funniest guys that you ever met privately. He is absolutely hilarious. When you see him and Melania interact privately, they actually love each other. And I'm not just saying that. I was actually surprised. They interact like my wife and I, bantering back and forth, probing at each other. She says, now, Donald, you know, just really, really a family guy. His kids love him. His grandkids love him. And here's this guy, has more energy than anybody I've ever met in my life. And I don't sleep much. I sleep maybe 4-5 hours about is all I get asleep. And it's not because I just can't sleep any longer than that. This guy, I don't know when he sleeps. And even
judging from his Twitter account, never.
Yeah, never, yeah. And even Forbes magazine says that this guy, I keep referring to this guy, but President Trump, his net worth has dropped by $600 million, according to Forbes magazine. $600 million since he's been in office. Now, this is the first president that I know of that their net worth has dropped when they're in office. Wow. Obama came to office and supposedly didn't even really own his own house. I mean, there was a question on how he even could afford this big house he's living in. And when they left, they were multimillionaires. President Trump came in office already a billionaire, and he's lost a fortune since he's been there. He's given everything for this country. When he says, make America great again, Russell, he really, really means that. And so it's so frustrating to me. It was such a dark, frustrating day that a guy that I've got to know personally, who I respect personally, he cringes and makes me cringe some of the stuff he says, but I know his heart is solid in the right place about America and the future that we have. To see him treated this way because he makes decisions irregularly. Well, Nancy Pelosi, newsflash, that's what the American people wanted. That's why they overwhelmingly voted for him, because they were tired business as usual in Washington, D.C. And what you're saying is, I want it back to normal. This is what Nancy Pelosi is saying. I want it back to normal because, hey, I've been up here for decades. I know how things are supposed to work.
U.S. Congressman from Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.